pizza, ma non c'è niente.
Hi everyone. I think there was a bit of a sound problem with the reading, so might be good for me to read the passage again for everyone. So 1 Peter 3:1. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Okay, please do keep your Bibles open. In case you missed it in chat, I do want to say that video was all credit to the FY leaders from concept to completion. It was all the FY leaders. I just said a couple of words. I had really nothing to do with it. They were very talented. And but please do pray for the HSCs. All right, so I'm going to pray for us as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Father, we really commit this time to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me your spirit, that I would be sensitive as I speak on this topic about marriage. Lord, we know that it is not an easy topic and quite a controversial topic in today's society. So we pray for your spirit to help us, Lord. Show us what it is that you want us to understand and how it is that you want us to live as husbands and wives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope you can tell from my prayer that this is not an easy topic. And as I was preparing, I felt this kind of anxiety because I thought, well, who am I to be, as a man, to be telling wives how to be wives. I've got a bit of anxiety with this as I'm preaching, but please be prayerful, and hopefully, God willing, I'm going to say what God's word says. So marriage is one of the most important relationships in life, and good marriages and stable families are a vital foundation of society. And a good marriage is, according to Paul, should be a reflection to the world of the beautiful gospel that we believe in. Christ laying down his life for his bride, the church. Now, when a marriage is going well, when it's really a great joy, and it's an absolute blessing in a couple's life when their marriage is going well. And yet, it is also one of the hardest relationships in life to get right. And in my experience as a pastor, I've seen how devastating it is when marriages go wrong. It is really one of the most difficult and most painful experiences in someone's life when marriages go wrong. Now, I've been married for over 12 years, and you know, I want to confess that I don't have a perfect marriage, and we've had our fair share of difficult moments in our marriage, and that really shouldn't surprise any of you. Marriage is the coming together of two sinful, selfish human beings who really have been living life their own way, and they've come into this relationship usually with these unrealistic expectations. And part of that I blame on Hollywood and all those Korean dramas. Let me show you a slide. I mean, look at this guy. He's ridiculously handsome, dreamy eyes. You know, he looks so sensitive, so caring, so romantic. I mean, how do I compare to this guy? Look at this guy and look at me. Come on. I mean, what chance do I have? I don't even know this guy's name, but I kind of don't like him already when I look at him compared to me. I'm just kidding. I've got nothing against this guy. I'm sure he's a good guy, good actor, all that. I wish him nothing but the best. This is not about jealousy, though. It's about marriage that we're talking about. And I talk about Hollywood and K-drama because they are a reflection of what we often focus on in relationships. You can just take off the slides. Thanks, Daniel. I'll come back to it later. We often focus on the wrong things, you know, and Hollywood, K-drama gets us to focus on looks, the external things, financial security and wealth, romance, chemistry. It's all these other external things, but what does God want us to focus on in our marriages? Well, it's Jesus. Husbands and wives are called to love one another in the same way that Jesus loved his Father and loved us. Now, I know that not everyone here is married, but there are lessons here for all of us. Perhaps marriage is actually right now a present reality, and you've got things to think about in your marriage to improve. And maybe marriage is a near future reality. I don't want to make any excuses here. Today's passage really does focus on marriage. But for the singles, I just want to remind you that we are part of a church of single people and married people. So if you're not married, I do want to encourage you to keep your ears open, stay listening, and learn the sort of marriages that God wants. And in this way, you can support and you can pray for the married couples in our church. Now, obviously, I can't teach us everything to do with marriage. I've got still so much to learn. And even in this passage, I'm not going to talk about everything in this passage, but I'll highlight a few things. I do want to encourage you to go to the workshop that Dan mentioned on the marriage workshop. And for the singles, go to the singles workshop. That's going to be great for you guys as well. But let me highlight three. Thanks, Daniel. Three points that I want to draw out in today's passage. Firstly, the word submit is not a dirty word, but it is a beautiful word. So we're going to look back at the previous passage to have a look at that. Then I want to talk about how the Christian husband should love the wife. So I'm going to go to the husbands first because I can speak from, I guess, more personal experience. Then I'll go back and I'll just point out one thing about how Christian wives ought to love their husbands. And I'll present that in a way, hopefully that's okay with you. So the word submit, what does it mean? I think the word submit, thanks Daniel, has become a dirty word in secular society. I remember a number of years ago, the Sydney Anglican Diocese decided to revise the liturgy in its prayer book for wedding ceremonies, where the minister would ask the bride, will you honour and submit to him as the church submits to Christ? And the expectation was if the bride wanted to marry that bridegroom, they would say, yes, I will willingly honour and submit to him. And of course, when word got out, they wanted to change these words. There was outrage in the media. And one commentator said, I'm horrified. This is such a dangerous concept, especially in terms of today's propensity for domestic violence. I'm horrified. So what we have here is this idea. If we submit to someone, then it opens us up to abuse and violence. And if that is the case, then yes, it is horrific. But the word submit is also dirty because it's got this negative connotation, doesn't it, that society places on that word. It's this sort of submit is like, well, you're removing my freedom. You're saying I can't be and do what I want to do and be. And also that it's been implied that when a woman submits, it's implied that they're inferior, that they should be under the husband. Well, is that what it means? Well, let's have a look at what the Bible says submit is. Is it a dirty word? Not according to the Bible. The Bible says submit. The word submit is actually a beautiful word. So look there in verse 1. It gives the command, their wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands. Let me just grab control. If you just go to the slides, thanks, Daniel. Can I control it? Anyway, 1 Peter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. That is the word submit there, verse 13, the previous chapter, and we're called to submit to our government, and Rev Ying mentioned that last week. And then if you look down a bit further, verse 18 says, slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Now, there's the word submit again. So in the same way, submit to our government, and slaves, submit to your master, or submit to your boss. And it's not that easy, is it? So sometimes that we don't want to submit to our government. Sometimes we don't want to submit to our boss. To submit, though, is actually, yeah, in many ways, it is a difficult thing to do. It's willingly putting yourself into someone else's hands, putting yourself under their authority in a sense. And so it's hard on a number of levels because, one, submit is hard because we're inherently selfish human beings. And so for us to submit to other people, it's hard because we're selfish. That's who we are inherently. We know what we want and we want what we want, and it's really easy to go about our life pursuing what we want. So that's the first thing why submission is hard. And just second thing, to submit to someone else is, in a sense, we feel that we're losing our autonomy. It's like saying, I no longer can just live for myself. I no longer just belong to myself. But if I submit to someone, it means I now also live for them. I also now belong to them, not just to myself. So that's the second reason why submission is difficult. And thirdly, I do need to talk about this, and that is highlighted with that commentator before, right? There is a risk when we submit ourselves to the wrong person, there's a risk, there's a danger that that person might take advantage of us. And that person might take us for granted and might even abuse us, even violently. So let me deal with that last point, and let's try and handle that well. That last one is really important. I want to make it really, really absolutely clear. There is no room in any relationship for any abuse or violence. It is absolutely wrong. And I just want to say, if you're a woman, if you're a wife in that situation and you're getting abused and you're being violently treated, then I urge you and I really want to encourage you to get help. Talk to someone about it. Talk to one of the pastors and get help. We want to encourage you to get out of that situation. And there is plenty of help available. Our community groups, our governments have set up lots of resources to help you. So please do get help. See your doctor. Please get out of that situation. There is no room for abuse or violence in a marriage, in any relationship. So with that in mind, what does biblical submission look like? So Rev Ying looked at chapter 2, verses 21 to 25 last week. I'm not sure if that slides up, but have a look at those verses. 21 to 25. I'm going to read these verses again because this is the foundation of understanding what Peter means when he talks about submit. All right, so chapter 2, verses 21 to 25. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed, for you were like sheep gone astray, and now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So what we learn here is that word submit, well, it's not a dirty word, but it is truly a beautiful word. To submit is an act of love. And we see Christ's love in this definition of submission. Jesus' way of submitting himself here is an example of that we are to follow, he says in verse 21. We are to follow in his steps. So, let me point out a few things here out of this passage that I just read. Firstly, how does Jesus submit? Well, he doesn't use his power and strength and authority for himself. What does he use it for? Well, he uses it to serve others. He humbles himself and he willingly entrusts himself into someone else's hands. And note who he entrusts himself to. Verse 23, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. So note that. He submits to him who judges justly. Who is that? It's not the Pharisees. It's not Pilate, but the one who judges justly. And that is, of course, God, his Father. So that's the first thing that I want us to make clear. Who does Jesus submit to? He submits to his Father. That is the example we are to follow. Now, the second point I want us to make, I want us to see that the motivation behind his submission to his Father was to love. I mean, remember the Garden of Gethsemane. He cried out to God in prayer, you know, God, if there is any other way, God, you know, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours. And God's answer, of course, was, no, there is no other way. And that is why Jesus went to the cross. It was because of love. That was what motivated him. And he died in our place. He bore our sins. By his wounds, we have been healed. You were sheep who've gone astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. It was for love to save us because we couldn't save ourselves. Jesus' motivation to submit to his Father was because of love. He loved his Father and he loved us. And the third thing, and this leads me that I want to point out, this leads me to the dilemma, doesn't it? Really is a dilemma here when you look at what the degree to which Jesus was willing to submit himself. Look at the degree. Look at what he was willing to submit himself to unjust and violent treatment. That's the risk of submission, isn't it? He was willing to be unjustly and violently treated. So here's the dilemma. If that is the degree to which Jesus submitted himself, does that mean we need to submit to that degree as well? So as I mentioned, this is not, thankfully, this is not what wives are called to submit to. They are not called to submit to violence. And thankfully, that is not where I see this being understood, because it is not so much submission to the Pharisees and to the, you know, the Roman government that we're talking about here. We're talking about submission to his Father. That's what Jesus was submitting to. That was what God wanted Jesus to go through in order to save humanity. So let's remember that. And we learn what submission looks like when we go to how husbands are meant to love their wives. You see, submission is not a one-way thing. So let's think about the second point in today's how husbands ought to treat their wives. Verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. So, first of all, do you see the phrase in the same way? There it is again. So before verse 1, to the wives in the same way, it is the same phrase in the same way to husbands. So I want you to note, what does the same way point us back to? It points us back to Jesus' submission to his Father. So there is a way in which husbands are also meant to submit to their wives, right? Modeling after Christ's submission to his Father. And that is what we need to recognize. Is submission is not just a one-way thing where one person has all the power and authority and the wife just submits completely, right? Submission here in marriage is both submitting to each other. It's a mutual submission. So I want us to really see that. There is a different submission, though, and it looks differently. And it's quite specific here how husbands ought to submit to their wives. And it says, be considerate. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So be considerate. It means don't just think, husbands, don't just think of your own needs and what you want, but consider the needs of your wife. Now, how can you use your time? How can you use your energy? And how can you lay down your preferences to meet her needs and treat her with respect? So that means you're not just having your way all the time. You're not discounting her opinions. You're not ignoring her. You're not being rude to her, but you're treating her with respect. You're treating her with patience. You're taking the time to listen to her, to listen to her thoughts, and to listen to her opinions. Her thoughts and opinions matter. Listening is so important in marriage. So husbands, understand that your role as a husband is to love your wife in such a way that truly she can say, look, we are making this work together. And which wife wouldn't want a husband who is like Jesus, who lays down his life like Jesus? I mean, every wife who sees a husband loving her sacrificially would willingly submit and follow this husband to the ends of the earth, wouldn't she? So husbands, I want you to really think about how you are being considerate to your wives and how you are treating them with respect. Now, it says that they are the weaker partner. It doesn't mean they are inferior in any way. And we know, husbands, we know our wives are not inferior. I know my wife is not inferior to me. She's better than me in every way, probably, except maybe physical strength. She's smarter than me, better looking than me, all of it. But we are called, husbands, to be considerate and to treat them with respect. Be someone that your wives are willing to submit to as you submit to them. So I want to talk now about wives, and I just want to highlight just really one area for wives. And I want to be careful here. So hopefully you're with me on the journey still. You understand what biblical submission is. And this is, I want to be sure that as you listen, this is, try not to hear this as coming from me, a man, but coming from God's word, okay? So it says there, 1 Peter 3, verse 4, rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So there is a way that women, that wives go about life that demonstrates submission to the husband. And it says there it's to do with the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. It's not just an action or a behavior, no, but it's a character trait. It's part of your inner self, Peter says. And Peter says this kind of spirit is an unfading beauty. And it's something that if it's within you, look at how God sees it. It is of great worth in God's sight. And so I want to ask you, wives, do you believe that? You know, we live in a world that focuses so much attention and energy on the external, on the physical beauty, the glamour, and that's, you know, all the social media, all the likes on Instagram and all that. It focuses so much on the physical, external attributes. But here Peter says, this kind of spirit is in the inner self. It's an unfading beauty. The external, it fades. But this is an unfading beauty, and it's of great worth in God's sight. So wives, do you really believe that? To be gentle and quiet. Submission is hard, isn't it? And when I try and put myself in my wife's shoes, I think, boy, it must be so hard to be my wife. I mean, she's just so much smarter than me. You know, she's wiser than me. She's more organized than me. She does everything with so much more efficiency than me. I take forever to wash the dishes. She gets it done in like 5 minutes. I mean, it must be so hard to be my wife and for her to submit to a guy like me, honestly. But I thank God. Honestly, I really thank God that he gave me someone like Vicky. Now, I mentioned earlier in the beginning that we've had our fair share of moments in our marriage, difficult moments. And as I look back, I've got to confess that most of those moments were my fault. It's because I'm a proud guy. I want things my way, and I like to be right. Does that sound familiar at all, husbands? Hopefully, I can't see you guys, but hopefully you're nodding your head, you know. Proud, want things your way, want to be right. That's most of us guys, right? That's me. I'm proud and I always want to be right. And I don't know why, but by God's providence, he gave me Vicky, you know, who is usually right. Most of the time more right than me, that's for sure. She's so, so much smarter than me. I mean, why would she submit to me? But do you know what? As I look over the years of our 12 years of marriage, I've noticed that we have, by God's grace, been arguing less. And, you know, the moments, the difficult moments have been less. And I've got to say that I feel like we've been learning to submit to each other better. I've been learning to listen better and try to be quicker to listen. And she's been better in helping me listen better as well by being more gentle and quiet in the way that she goes about, you know, giving me hints about things that I'm not doing right, things that I, you know, need to pick up on. So it's been both ways. She's helped me by the way she's brought things up with me. It's helped me to listen better. And by God's grace, I feel that I have been trying to listen better and I want to listen better. Now, you know, we're definitely not perfect. That's for sure. And we've got a long way to go. We've all got a long way to go. But by God's grace, my marriage with Vicky, it is slowly, step by little step at a time, improving. We're getting better at understanding each other, caring for each other, submitting to each other, loving each other, listening to each other. And so I really want to encourage all you marrieds and soon to be married. Keep working hard at following Christ's example of submission. And over time, with God's help, things can get better. And with God's help, they do get better, a bit better, a bit better, a bit better. One small step at a time with God's help. Keep working at it. And may God help you and all the marrieds in our church to really reflect Jesus and love one another as he loved us. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, and thanks for the privilege that we've had to learn from you, God. Lord, we confess, God, that some things are hard to apply in our life, and we confess that, yeah, marriage is often hard, and we do need your help, God. Please help all husbands and wives, Lord, in our church to really stay centered in Jesus, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to look at the way that he submitted to you, God, and the way that he loved us and was willing to endure so much for us because of his love for you, God, and his love for us. And we pray that we would follow his example, that husbands and wives would love and submit to one another as Christ submitted to you, God. Will you help us, Lord? It is really hard. There are times when, yeah, we can be really selfish. And we pray, God, that you would help us. Help us to see how we fall short of Christ's example. And we pray you would help us to be more like Jesus. And for your glory, we pray. Amen.